Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
I'm such an idiot that it just hit me. I'm sorry.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Mr. Paul Hamilton, his appearance brought to you by Ralax Honda. We're going to recap the Sabres weekend that was. A couple of trades, lots of draft picks, a decentralized draft that took forever, the first round. Forever. Paul, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
All right. How'd you like the decentralized draft?
Oh, it's awful. That might have been the worst television I have ever seen in my life. And I'm not exaggerating. That ESPN should be as embarrassed could be, and the NHL. That was horrendous. The second day was much better. I thought the NHL Network did a much better job. But that first day was an utter embarrassment.
For people that weren't tuned in, what about it was so bad?
Well, they're trying to do interviews because, of course, the GMs and everything aren't there. So they bring the pick over to do it. Some of them worked. Some of them didn't. And you see these GMs with a deer in headlines just looking like, well, are we going to talk or aren't we going to talk? Or,
yeah,
you know, and they just such goofy. We really liked you. Hi. How are you? It's like, stop. I mean, it was just everything was just so forced and fake and. I don't think the analysis was as good at all. I mean, nobody was really talking about, I don't think they knew the players that well, quite honestly. Whereas in the past, I think they had analysts on there who did know the players that are being drafted and the needs of teams and that type of thing. And it just wasn't there at all.
Yeah. No one on the panel was like a dedicated prospect person.
No. Where's Mel Kiper? Is what you're saying.
That would be funny. The draft house interviews for sure, Paul, and the length of it. I really was wondering because, like, I wonder how the owners think of it because they voted 26-6, I saw, to have a decentralized draft. I wonder if they'd almost be mad at ESPN or the league because if you wanted to see what that looked like, it feels like you got like the worst effort possible. Like, yeah. I'm sure the owners were imagining something 1,000 times better when they voted to have it.
You know what the owners were imagining is saving money. That's okay, what the owners were imagining.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have to move their whole operation, charter a plane, and move a whole operation to another city. So they were envisioning saving money.
Right. But like for it to continue, you need it to be a little bit better than it was. And if they go right back to the way that it has been, you know what I mean? Like they would want the league and the ESPN to put a real effort in because if they want to save money, well, like I guess it's only a 1-year thing now because it was so bad. I can't imagine they do it again.
This is the NHL, so I don't.
Yeah, you think they could?
I don't put any bets on that.
I think it's more likely Bettman comes out and says our fans said it was their favorite draft of all time. That's what he tends to do. So, all right, Paul, well, the draft class itself, the Sabres go in the first round with a right shot defenseman, big guy, right shot defenseman in the third round, big guy, lots of big guys, lots of defensemen, and right shot. You know, there's a trade in there as well. So clearly attacking a position of need as they saw it.
Yeah, and don't forget, too, the Sabres have used second-round picks the 2 years before. Last year, Adam Kleber is a right-handed shooting defenseman, and the year before, Maxim Sterbik is a right-handed shooting defenseman. Both are playing in college hockey right now, so it's something they had been doing. And it also helps their prospect pool get a little bit bigger. I mean, if you look at, you know, basically for a while it was, you know, draft team Munchkin with skill, and just outskill them. Well, that's great. You need skill. You really do. But the Florida Panthers have shown us the past couple of years you need skill and size to go with it. You know, the Panthers can play any type of hockey you want to play because they have the team to do it. They have size. They have skill. Their skill players, for the most part, are big. And they can just grind you down in the playoffs. The playoffs are a grind. And if you just have little guys that, you know, are getting slapped around the whole time, and they're just going to wear out on you, you know, if you're going to go on a playoff run. So, you know, obviously with the draft, that's something they had in mind.
Is that the case with Mertka too for you, Paul, their 9th overall pick? He is definitely big. I mean, 6'6". But I have seen a lot of description of him as maybe not like he's not. He wasn't drafted that high because he's the meanest guy in the world. Like, he might, right. He uses his size in a different way, which is more common, I think, in today's game.
Yeah, Betkowski, the third round pick, he is the meanest guy in the world, but not,
okay. Yeah.
not Mertka. At 18, he had a lot going on when he got to Seattle. He's coming over, found out he wasn't as good at English as he thought he was. And he had a problem with that, and was just trying to get himself used to playing in the Western Hockey League, which is a league that is a tough league to play in. So, you know, I think that will, as he plays there, I'm sure he will play there again next year, something that I think will help him with that too. I mean, he'll realize it. But, you know, he's a good two-way defenseman. He's a guy that for his size, you know, I think can move well. Now, he talked about he wants to get his skating better. But, you know, anything I've seen of him, I thought he moved pretty well. So, you know, can guys grow into it? Well, some can, some can't. But he's going to play in a league where to survive, you might have to be a little bit tougher.
Yeah. Well, Paul, they want to be tougher to play against. They've added a couple pieces here. The Peterka trade. Then there's the Connor Clifton trade as well. So we've seen them make some roster moves. Are they a better hockey team today, or is very much the message right now the offseason has just begun? You know, would Kevin Adams want to preach patience on what they're still going to do?
For me, they're very much incomplete today. Specifically, Timmins for Clifton, yes, they're a better team. Clifton, nicest guy in the world, and I think he was liked in the locker room, but especially for a third pair guy. I mean, way too many turnovers. He wound up, you know, being a healthy scratch because of it. They just couldn't do it or taking too many penalties. You know, Lindy Ruff has kept pounding the table. We got to stop with the penalties. Well, he was one of the guys that didn't stop with the penalties. But it's the turnovers when he's under pressure, turning the puck over, and quite often it would wind up in the net. It just had to stop, and it wasn't. And I had heard, and I think we have talked about it when the season ended, that Lindy Ruff just wasn't satisfied with that. He felt they needed to get better in some areas, and I know that was an area right there on the third pair. You can't have, because your third pair most of the time isn't playing the top six guys against the top six guys. And when they're turning the puck over and the puck's in the net and you're handing it to the guys who aren't the top six guys, you know, it just you can't have that. So Lindy Ruff definitely has more of a say in the roster, and I felt even before Kevin Adams talked about this, and when I was on the air, I talked about it, that this was, I think, a trade maybe for Lindy Ruff.
And Timmins, Paul, just quickly on him, because he, if anyone that doesn't know him pulls up his stat page, they might go, okay, this guy's kind of, he's barely played in the league, you know, relatively. He's been in the league, he's appeared in six seasons, only 159 games, but I don't know, like, this might be one of those savvier moves where you look at some of the numbers in Pittsburgh and his ability as a puck mover and think, like what you just said, that this is a better third pair defenseman than what they had in Clifton.
Yeah, he certainly isn't going to play with Dahlin, or if he does, it's going to be trouble. I mean, you have to understand the limitations of what you got there. And the limitations are you want him on your third pair, and if you keep him on the third pair and don't play him out of place, I'll go back more than a couple of years. Josh Georges was that. I mean, Josh Georges, they were forcing him onto the top pair, and he wasn't very good. Then all of a sudden, they put him on the third pair, and it's like, well, wait a minute. Josh Georges is playing pretty well here. And because they had him out of position. He wasn't a top pair guy. So, and Timmins isn't a top pair guy. But if you keep him where he should be, I think he's going to be just fine, and I think the turnovers will be reduced. He can step into Clifton's penalty-killing role, and again, I do think they've improved in that area.
With that being said, I would ask you about Byram now, because I think anyone that would do the defense groups on paper right now, you might just put Byram with Dahlin just because he's still on the team, and they played together a lot last year. Adam's talking about Byram, Paul, and like being open to him coming back, and we've talked so much and have assumed, I think, for so long now that he would be traded. Do you think that's just Adams talking that way just in case a deal doesn't get done? Do you still feel that the most likely outcome for Byram is that he will be traded and we'll be talking about somebody else that opens the season with Dahlin?
I think Adams is right in what he says. It doesn't necessarily have to be. If it has to be done, it doesn't necessarily have to be done this year. Because if you just sign Bo Byram to a one-year contract and do it again next year, if you just don't like the trades that you've been seeing and you know, maybe you're going to continue to try to trade him, but all right, let's sign him to a one-year deal. Bo Byram is not going to pout. Bo Byram is going to come out and give you everything he has. J.J. Paterka pouted last year at times, and you could see it on the ice. And he addressed that at the end of the year, that his body language needs to be better. That's not what's going to happen with Bo Byram if he's here for another year or two, you know, because the Sabres are looking for better value or a better trade. So, you know, I don't think you have to worry about him if it's not done. It seems like from what Adam said the other day that, you know, as he said, they've been transparent both ways that, you know, the Sabres, they've explained to him what they're going to do to make the team better and what they want to do with him to help him and to help him maybe feel more part of, you know, not part of the team, but more towards the role of what he wants. And the only thing I think if you sign him and keep him here and tell him he's going to play with Dahlin, that's basically what he wants because he's going to get top pair minutes. He's going to be out there all the time against the other team's best players. The only thing he's not going to do is be on the power play because Dahlin and Power have that. So, all right, can he live with that, playing top pair minutes and being on the top pair and on the ice all the time for that, but you're not going to be on the power play? I mean, that's – you know, something, you know, they would have to talk to him about. But, you know, and obviously with what Adam said, he wanted to hear about what's the plan moving forward. I don't want to sit here if we're going to lose for another 5 years. You know, what's the plan to make this team better, to get us in the playoffs and get us headed in the right direction here?
Paul, you know, that idea, in the right direction – you know, I feel like a GM that's getting another year, I don't know if he's surprised to get another year or he pleads his case and he feels very safe, but I want to see any bit of desperation or real aggressiveness. You know, the Paterka move sounds like it's something they kind of had to do and they felt like they maybe had to do and they got something for it and that's fine. Maybe they feel like they're better defensively. But whether it's something in goal or really aggressively getting after their top six, you know, as you're laying out Byram, he could stay. I think, all right, well, then what avenue will they take to get better? And for a GM that's, I don't know, I would like to think he's got some sort of make the playoffs or else, compete or else, is there going to be a move in there that looks like that? That looks like the GM is feeling like he's got to get something done.
I don't know. This is just my impression. I don't think Terry Pegula is the or else guy. But you know what, you know, I talked about what we heard with Byram. I didn't like what I heard when we talked about, well, all right, you've made yourself better defensively with Kesselring, and I think fans are going to enjoy watching Kesselring play, but you've also lost 27 goals off your team. And Adams almost talked like he's setting the fans up for, well, you know, Benson and Quinn could, you know, we've got them and they, you know, we're looking to them to take the next step. And you know, we're not worried about that. We're more worried about keeping pucks out of our net because we got to get much better defensively. Well, that's not wrong. But it was almost like they were saying, I'm not sure we're going to be able to, you know, do what you guys are thinking. And, you know, but Benson and Quinn are young players and we're expecting them to get better. And he didn't say that's the end result.
Yeah.
But, you know, he kind of, you know, well, if that's what we have, you know, we'll be fine because I know they're going to work hard and get better. And I thought, no, that's not, hope is not a strategy. In goal, hope is not a strategy. Hoping that both of the two young goaltenders are going to really hit their stride next year or that Benson and Quinn are going to hit their stride next year. That's hoping. And if you're going to hope, you're going to be out of the playoffs for the 15th straight year because hope is not a strategy. So whatever the strategy is, it has to be better than, well, we've got guys, because how many years have we heard now? We got guys,
yeah.
You know, especially after the year where they all had career years. Well, why do we got to do it? We got guys, and they're only going to get better. They had career years, and they're only going to get better. Okay. Yeah, Paterka got better.
The rest maybe regressed.
Yeah. Lukanen got better for 35 games, mm-hmm. and then that regressed again. So, you know, that just, to me, that's unacceptable. That is not what they need to do. They need to find some top six forwards. And if you trade Byram, that would be where you can look in free agency. You can look in, you know, other trades. You essentially have to get Alex Tuch signed. You just have to, because if you don't, that is a huge step backwards for this team. So, and, you know, Timmins, just for that one particular thing, you were trying to get better at that one particular area. Yeah, you went for it there. Yeah, you threw a second-round pick in there. You know, if you boil it down, is Timmins worth a second-round pick in Clifton? I don't know. But you made yourself better. Do you need a second-round pick right now? No. How many picks do you have? How many prospects do you have? So I kind of, as soon as I the first thing I said, I couldn't care less about the second-round pick. I don't – whatever. I'm more interested, did you get better in the positions you're trying to get better in? And you did. You threw a second-round pick in, and I couldn't have cared less.
So how do they get their hands, Paul, on top six forward if they go for a goalie? There's the Byram piece, but beyond that, like, I guess how hard do you expect them to push tomorrow? Like, will we see them sign I mentioned Zucker earlier. Like, maybe a guy they can get to sign on a 1 or 2 year deal because they're willing to give him a couple million more than maybe somebody else's. Like, do you think that's likely for them, that they will at least one forward, maybe a goalie, that they are going to push for that tomorrow?
Well, July 1st is stupid time anyway. And it's overpayment, and it's going to come to a team that hasn't been in the playoffs for 14 years. It's going to have to be a severe overpayment, if they're looking in free agency. So, you can find other ways trade-wise to get those players, especially teams that are looking for other things and maybe are looking for younger players or things like that. But it can't be, well, it takes two to trade. It's difficult. You know, you got to have a trading partner. I understand it's hard. I get it. And it's your job. And you didn't do your job the last 2 years, the two off seasons, for whatever the reason. Maybe it was too hard or whatever. Well, if it's too hard for you, let's find a GM that's not too hard for work, because it has to be done, and you have to find a way to do it. And you have to have a trading partner. You have to have this, or, you know, it's a hard sell. Yeah, I know. I know it is. And if you want to be a champion, you better get it done.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. All right, Paul, we'll be ready to talk tomorrow as the Sabres look for, I don't know, some help somewhere. Maybe they find their next Jason Zucker, which did work out well, you know. I'll just say, like, sometimes we read stories about how they might have been scared off of idea XYZ because it didn't go well. In the case of Zucker, that worked out really well. Maybe that encourages them to try and do something similar with a player this year. I mean, Zucker was, I think when they signed, viewed as a little bit of an overpay, and everything worked out really well there, so maybe we see them do that again. We'll see.
Yeah, with the production they wound up with, it wasn't an overpay.
Right.
But at the time, yes. I was neutral about it when they signed him. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. It was like, okay, whatever.
Yep.
And it turned into more than whatever.
Another guy like that.
And the same with goaltending. Free agent goaltending is not very good this year. So if they're going to add to the goaltending, I think in a significant way, it's going to have to be done through a trade.
Yep. Thanks, Paul.
Okay.
Paul Hamilton joining us. His appearance brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this on free agency. Had a tweet moments ago from, was it Darren Dreger? He predicted this, that on the eve of free agency, you can take this quote for what it means.
Mm-hmm.
I think today's going to be one of those days where we go, we're in one now, expecting a very active day before free agency.
Okay. This also is going to be unique in that maybe this could also lead to more activity. The cap going up. Like, we talk about the Sabres end in that. Other teams are going to be chomping at the bit.
To spend?
To spend. Because it went up this year, and it's going up again next year. And in 2 years, there are, like, Puckpedia, who is, like, that's the new cap-friendly where everybody's keeping track of the cap stuff. They have, in 2 years, 27-20, because I think Friedman reported this a couple months ago, that the cap in 2027 could be $113 million. $20 million from what it is right now, and almost $30 million, $25 million at least, from where it was last season. The Sabres, for instance, right now, in 2 years, have $67.5 million of cap space.
Yeah.
$67 million in space. There's no team in the league that has less than 50. So what are teams going to do? Especially on, like, players going to want two-year contracts. They're talking about that for McDavid. They're talking about that for Marner. Like, I think you're going to see... You're going to see sticker shock, and you're going to see spending frenzies tomorrow because everybody knows, everybody, all these teams that are right up against the cap limit every year and are finding ways to go over that, they just got a brand new credit card.
Yeah. Well, there's a point to be made here about the NFL. I've seen a lot of this. I've seen, hey, if so-and-so signs for seven, that's the equivalent of five last year, which is something that the NFL could do every year.
Right.
The cap of the NFL goes up this much every single season.
Right, it's
and
always
every
the same.
Single season, it's, wow, these receiver salaries are out of control. It's just right. Moving with the actual cap.
But the NHL, you never have
that's right,
that.
That's right. So whereas, the NHL, what I'm saying is the NHL has actually, the NHL media and people that follow the NHL have done a good job adjusting and saying, like, oh, well, the cap went up 20%, so let's adjust the salary for inflation and try not to freak out about it
because it
just went with the cap.
I saw someone in Utah do that with Paterka's contract.
Right away.
Like, hey, this is what the cap does by percent, this is really what it's like. Paterka for 7.7 this year, and it was like, that's like 6.8 last year. And in 2 years, like I mentioned, when it's all the way up above 110, it's like, this is really almost like a $6 million contract they
wild?
Just signed him to.
It's a point that the NFL, the entire NFL media could just decide to do and doesn't.
No.
And the Utah hockey team coverage is getting that level. Hey, think of it as a percentage of the cap.
Yeah, right.
All right. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. When we return, the NFL Top 100 begins. I want to ask a question about the very, very top. How many players would it be okay? How many players would it be okay? I'll tell you what I mean when we get back.
I want to go in on a half pipe. So how do you feel about like that? From going
how
from
do
football?
I feel about it?
Hell yeah.
I'm all about it.
And like a big boy going down this freaking thing.
I say you can do it.
I say hell no, Tony. I say hell no.
Give me a day.
I said
give
hell
me a
no,
day.
Bro. I said
not,
let me.
Not to go from the top. Just give me a day to make you feel no.
One day?
Well, maybe you got to switch roles.
100%.
Maybe you play football.
You go block and for Josh, and I'll go down the half pipe.
No. I mean, I'm not afraid Josh to take a slam. So.
For sure.
Yeah, but these bones are getting old, so.
I feel that. I feel that, bro.
Yeah, hit me up. We'll tighten the trucks. We'll make it happen.
So, Deion Dawkins and Tony Hawk there, the X Games. Did you see that?
No, I did not see that.
Josh, what happened in that? They're just rapping about the X Games. Deion's going to go down the half pipe?
Pretty much, yeah. It's just, I guess, Deion was at the X Games taking it all in and thought about going down the half pipe and wanted Tony Hawk's opinion on it.
Anybody here ever gone down a half pipe or attempted to do something like that?
No, no. Have you?
No.
Oh, okay. No, I have not done that.
When I was growing up, though, I knew a kid who had a full half pipe in his backyard.
What?
Yeah. Yes.
What?
Yes. He was like a crazy good skateboarder. I forget his name, but yeah. Full, honest to goodness.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
How does that
even... I sat on the top of it, but I never ever thought about going down that thing, ever.
That's pretty crazy.
Yes.
Wow. That's like... Hey, I got an ice rink in my backyard times that's super. I've never even heard of that.
Yep. Yeah, you can see it from the road. You'd be driving by, like, there's
just
guys on a half
backyard. Yeah.
Just how tall are those things? I want to say
20 feet.
Yeah, I want to guess about
at least
20 feet high.
20 feet.
Yeah.
No, I can't imagine I ever would go down one of those. Dawkins, by the way, he's everywhere now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was on the Today Show last week. He was. He was the Grand Marshal at Watkins Glen. There's him with Tony Hawk. He was somewhere else recently too. He's always on. He's on like Cowherd and like these national radio shows once in a while or a lot. He's, you know, maybe did. Is he going to be like the most famous offensive lineman like pretty quickly in the NFL here? There been some. There been like Jason Kelsey's gone now.
Yeah.
Who's got that title now?
Who is the most famous offensive lineman currently in the NFL?
Like, he might be approaching on that. He's out there all the time. He's got the personality.
He's on
for
a winning
it.
Team.
He's on a winning team. He's good enough.
He created an award for linemen.
Right.
That's good.
Like, he might be closing in on that. I don't know who would the current king of that be, though, the most famous lineman now that Jason Kelsey is gone. It might still be Jason Kelsey, honestly.
I'm trying to think, like, who else would have held this title? The history of the most famous offensive lineman in the league. Who else held this? Like, right now people are shouting names at us.
Think of guys that like went to TV.
I'm gonna go. Okay,
but Howie Long, he was an offensive lineman though. Was he defensive lineman?
He was but again, are you going for former players or guys in the league that are household names? Joe Thomas.
Joe Thomas is a good one.
Was he a guy people knew or was he famous? How many offensive linemen could walk down the street and people would know who that is?
Like Jason Kelsey, that's it. Ever?
And for Kelsey, that's at the end of his career. End-ish.
Right.
I'm thinking back to...
He plays in the league like for a decade before he's, you know, famous, really.
Yeah. That's a tough one. Who's the most famous offensive lineman? Could it be Dawkins?
He might have it. He's at the ESPYs, right? He's at everything.
Well, let me go just like to the best ones and see if you think anybody here rates.
Like, is Trent Williams more famous right now than Deion Dawkins is?
Famous? I don't know.
You don't see Trent Williams. He's amazing. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
But like, I can't remember, and I know I have the Buffalo bias here, but I just mentioned a bunch of things that weren't like. It's not him at the Bandits game or him at the Sabres game. Like, Watkins Glenn, the Today Show. He's on Fox Sports 1, like, a bunch of times. Like, he's with Tony Hawk. Like, these are not local things. These are national things that he's at.
This will get us into the NFL Top 100 conversation very well, which I teased about Josh Allen. Question for you before I get to that. How many offensive linemen were there in the top 50 last year? Of the NFL's top 100 players.
Ooh.
How many offensive linemen made the top 50?
I'm going to say there were 8 in the top 50.
I'm going to scroll past 50 to maybe give you a better number here. How about the top 52 NFL players? There were 2 offensive linemen.
2?
2.
Who were the 2? Trent Williams?
Trent Williams.
And?
Or, I'm sorry, wait. The 2 offensive linemen to make the top 50 last year. Maybe it's 3. Okay. Trent Williams is 7.
Okay.
Penei Sewell is on this list.
Yep.
He came in at number 22.
Okay.
And I think that's it.
That's it?
That's it. In the top 50. Yeah.
And Dawkins last year was in the 90s?
97, I believe. I'll double check. 97 or 99.
Okay.
He was 96, Dawkins. Up from not rated.
Right. And I would expect this year he's going to be higher.
Yeah, that's right. So, I teased the question going to the break. I'm going to ask it this way. Josh Allen is a really good chance at number one in the NFL's top 100. We won't know for almost 2 months. If you didn't hear earlier, we mentioned this. The NFL top 100 starts today, and they will go 2 players at a time every day.
Yep.
So, it goes till August 29th. On August 29th, we find out the top 10. But until then, it's 2 per day during the week. How many players is it okay to be ahead of Josh Allen? Last year, Allen, if you remember, finished 12th. 11 players ahead of him, which also lines up with the 11 players polled that said he was the most overrated player in the league. But 12th last year. How many players is it people won't freak out if the NFL players vote this player ahead of Josh Allen? How many can be on a list? Is it under 4?
Yes, it's under 4.
Okay.
Freak out?
Freak out. If Lamar is ahead of him, that's freak out, right?
Yes.
If Mahomes finishes ahead of him, I might freak out.
I might freak out, but I feel like the masses might not, because they're going to go,
well,
okay, they're only doing that because they feel like they have to do that.
Last year, Lamar was ranked ahead of Mahomes. Did Mahomes have a year to follow up and get further up the chart?
No, he shouldn't have.
He
no.
should not.
He should not be above Allen.
Remember, the NFL Top 100, is they do not obsess over rings. It's who's right. the best. And last year, Lamar finished ahead of Mahomes.
So,
how many players...
I still don't think everyone's freaking out if it is Mahomes, what even though it will be weird, and it'll be like, I will come in the next day and say he should not have been above Allen, right. because he has not been that for 2 years now.
It's probably just position. Let's say, hypothetically,
that's what it is.
The top 10's announced. Number one, Ja'Marr Chase. Number two, Josh Allen. You say, fine.
That's what I was going
to
say. I think
he has to be the number one quarterback for not to freak out.
But even that, I think you only have a couple of superstars at other positions in the league where there won't be a freak out. Chase might be one of them. Barkley might be one of them.
The year, maybe. Yeah, right. The year he just had.
Myles Garrett might be one of them. Is that it?
You don't know where Barkley finished last year?
Barkley?
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley. The 30s?
The NFL Top 100, they rank the top players. The players do it.
Yep.
Barkley last year was 86.
Woo.
He's about to have.
He'll be top five.
Saquon Barkley last year in the NFL's top 100 poll was behind Kirk Cousins. He was behind Kyren Williams.
That's brutal.
Yeah.
He'll be top five this year, I bet.
He's behind Amari Cooper.
He could be number one. He was behind Amari Cooper.
He was behind Amari Cooper.
I can't imagine Amari Cooper is going to be on this list. I'm sure. I got like four guys above Allen where there's not a freak out.
Where it's okay.
It's Chase. It's Barkley. It's... Pat Surtain.
Garrett.
And Garrett.
Okay.
That's it. I think anybody else, freak out.
All right,
and
now.
I think we are at a point where there's a freak out to some extent if it's any other quarterback in the league. Like you mentioned in that Pete Prisco list or whoever, that he had Jaden Daniels listed, just one person's opinion, Jaden Daniels maybe could end up number one.
Yeah.
If that happened, people would freak out.
Yes.
Totally freak out. Now, like, how dare you put this person 1 year in above Josh? You can't do that.
Let's have a family meeting. What do we really want? Do we want Allen to be ranked number one?
Listen,
or do we want a full year, another one, of snarky freaking out, bulletin board, shove it in their face material?
I said this about the Madden ratings last week. Like, I'm not sure the Bills might not be rooting for this because they're like... Do they have a bulletin board officer like going into every year where like there's one man's job? Yes. It was just to
find everything said.
All the media, all video games, everything. Find me players talking. Find me all the bulletin board material that you can so I can put it up in the locker room to fire these guys up. And right now, there's nothing. What is it? They're the Super Bowl favorites.
They're favored every game.
They are favored in every game. Allen won MVP.
Yep.
I got a couple of people in the last, like Sam Monson did this and somebody else. Like, he's the best quarterback in the league the last couple of days. Like, it's right now, it's your Madden rating on its own. They're on an island. If you get Allen to be like number seven, and he's behind both Lamar and Mahomes and like Jaden Daniels, I'm telling you, there's somebody in that Bills front office just licking their chops. No, like, yes,
the Bills are down
come
there
on,
thinking,
baby,
like,
give me that board. Let's go.
Come on, NFL Top 100. Put Justin Herbert ahead of Allen. Give it to us.
Right. Because they are not. Where's the doubt coming from right now? They've earned the fact that there's not much doubt at all.
Yeah.
But. Anything, really, him being anything but number one amongst the quarterbacks, I think is going to be used as bulletin board material.
803-0550. So excited to find out number 100 and number 99 today.
Yeah.
The NHL free agency period is competing with the NFL releasing two players at a time.
99 and 100 of the top 100 list. Yeah.
Tomorrow's 98, 97.
By
Get
the way.
Excited.
Don't you think Jackson is going to be ahead of him?
Did he have a better year or no?
That's he had a debatable. Better statistical
That's
year.
Debatable. I don't know. I don't know when the players vote. Do they vote in March or do they vote in January?
Listen, Allen, we've also mentioned this. Allen is a trash talker. Why did he get rated
right.
the most overrated player in the league last year? Two reasons. One, only seven people voted, basically. Or was it 11? I think it was 11 players voted him. It was such a small pool. And two, Allen talks, you know what, all the time. And there would be people in the league that would know he's unbelievable and not vote him high anyway because they just hate the guy. Who's that Dolphins linebacker last year that Josh
David
like,
Long?
David Long. Yeah. Allen like looked at the back of his jersey as to say, like, who are you? Who is like talking on the field? Who is this? Like, David Long is probably not putting Allen high because he probably hates Josh Allen.
Yeah. 803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-552-550. Jeremy and Joe on a beautiful, beautiful Monday morning. Give us a ring if you'd like. We're hanging out till 10 o'clock on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR. Hey, everybody. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Joe's going out to play some golf today.
It's going to be
hot.
A real feel of 97. From what I just looked at.
Where you're playing?
Yeah.
Wow. Stay hydrated.
A little closer to Rochester, but yeah, it's going to be a warm one.
High today here in Buffalo of 85.
Okay.
Already feels like 82, five above the real feel.
Okay.
Training camp approaches.
It's going to be here quick. Yeah, we are a little over 3 weeks.
24 days away.
24 days?
Yep. Going to get here quick.
Yeah. And then, you know what gets really quick, too? I think the Hall of Fame game is in July this year. Like, preseason starts early. Maybe July. Maybe it's a month from today is the Hall of Fame game. Not that everyone's super dialed into that in the first place, but the games get rolling pretty quickly after that.
Yeah. Wimbledon underway.
Thank goodness. There was nothing this weekend. I tried to watch a little bit of the Club World Cup, but
didn't you watch?
It was 4-0 PSG over Inter Miami. I'm like, oh, this is dumb.
Yeah,
that was in the first half.
You didn't watch the Rocket Classic?
I didn't get to see a lot of the Rocket Classic. No, okay.
I saw a good chunk of it. Playoff, 3-way playoff, and Potgieter. Is that how you say his name? I forget.
Potgieter, I think.
Potgieter, sorry.
Yeah.
He had a chip that like one of us would hit in the final round and fell into a playoff, ultimately got the win, so good for him. First PGA Tour win. He'd been around a couple times. It is also like the non-elevated event. I like to make the point that there are no asterisks in sports, really. We don't put asterisks. We claim we're going to and we don't. If there's one thing you could put an asterisk on, it would be a non-elevated PGA Tour event. Because you won because this because no one's there. The best players in the world are just not there.
Right.
The purse is half of the week before.
Yeah, like I just opened the full leaderboard and like
nobody.
The only guy I could even bet would be like top 20 in the world is Morikawa. Every other name I see there. It was not a strong field at all.
You know, all due respect to him, he's a young player, he's a good player, he's probably going to win a bunch in his future, but
right.
You just show up I'm trying to think of like the right thing here. Like, it's not a COVID season. It's nobody's there. But whatever, it's still golf. Good shots were hit.
Mm-hmm.
Putts were made. All right, we'll get a break in 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.